This is the time in our service where we remember the death of the Lord Jesus Christ in the place of sinners. We like to do this every week, and we do this by taking communion. And we're going to look at a passage of Scripture together to prepare our hearts. We'd love for you to have a Bible to look at. If you brought a Bible, that's great. You can open your Bible to Luke chapter 22. If you don't have a Bible with you this morning, these kind gentlemen coming down the aisles are going to give you one. Just slip your hand up. Let them know that you need a Bible. And if you don't own a Bible, this is our gift for you. We want you to keep this Bible, read it for yourself. We'd love for you to be able to know God's Word. Turn your attention this morning to Luke chapter 22. And verse 31. This is Jesus speaking to Peter, whose former name was Simon. And Jesus says to him, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded to sift all of you like wheat. But I have prayed earnestly for you that your faith may not fail. And once you have returned, strengthen your brothers." But he said to him, "Lord, with you I'm ready to go both to prison and to death." And Jesus said, "I say to you, Peter, the rooster will not crow today until you have denied three times that you know me." Now turn over your Bibles to John chapter 18. And we'll just read the record of these three denials. Verse 17, a servant girl who kept the door said to Peter, "Are you not also one of this man's disciples?" And Peter said, "I am not." Look at verse 25. Simon Peter was standing and warming himself. And they said to him, "You're not also one of his disciples, are you?" He denied it and said, "I'm not." And verse 26, one of the slaves of the high priest, being a relative of the one whose ear Peter cut off, said, "Did I not see you in the garden with him?" Peter denied it again, and immediately a rooster crowed. Turn now finally to John chapter 21. This comes from the text we just read in our public reading of Scripture this morning. This, of course, occurs after the crucifixion of Jesus and the resurrection of Jesus. And Jesus meets Peter on the beach by the lake where Peter grew up. The place where Jesus first called Peter to be a follower of Jesus. Right back at that same spot. And Peter is going back to fishing, what he grew up with. After the crucifixion and resurrection of Christ, Peter has gone back to fishing. And Jesus comes to him. When they had finished breakfast, verse 15, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" Is that a reference to love me more than the massive catch of fish he just caught, more than the disciples standing around him, more than somebody else in the immediate vicinity? And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to Peter, "Tend my lambs." He said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Shepherd my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he had said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." Jesus asked him three times. He used three different words for love. Even grieved Peter at the heart at the third asking of the question. It is clear here that Jesus is seeking Peter, that Jesus loves Peter. Jesus promised to pray for Peter. Jesus forgives Peter, and then Jesus employs Peter. We think about what has just transpired. Jesus went to the cross to pay for the sins in full of everyone who would ever believe in him. Peter was a sinner who loved Jesus. Peter was a sinner who believed Jesus. You know, there was another disciple who denied and betrayed Jesus who was not a believer, Judas. Satan desired to sift all of the disciples. This would be a fulfillment of an Old Testament promise that the shepherd would be stricken and the sheep would scatter. Oh, they scattered in fear. Peter, looking on to the trial of Jesus, is warming his hands by a charcoal fire, and a doorkeeper slave girl is too scary for him. And he denies that he even knows Jesus. At one point, even calling down curses upon himself in his denial. Jesus prayed for Peter that once Peter returned, he would be restored and equipped. Jesus' actions at the cross, once for all time, paid for sin for everyone who belongs to him. And Jesus' continual love for forgiven sinners is restorative. We see this in dramatic fashion with Peter. What's he tempted to do? Peter, the rock, the disciple, the apostle, the one who made the great confession. He's going back to fishing. Jesus provided a remarkable catch. Look, Jesus can give you success at mundane enterprises in life, or can he withhold them? But for Peter to feel the shame of the denial of Christ would probably provoke him to say, I can't work for him anymore. What could I do? Some rock. Some confession. It didn't hold up when it counted. I wasn't stable and courageous when it mattered. Oh, I was bold. I said I would go to death for you, and then I couldn't even say a word. I don't know if you felt like that. I don't know if you felt like a failure for Jesus. The reality is you and I don't have what it takes. We must be sustained by God's Spirit. We must walk in the good works He prepared for us to walk in. We must believe and believe again and remain by faith. We must be sustained by Him. No one is adequate for these things. But we see in this restoration of Peter the love of Jesus. He seeks his disciple out. He loves him. He prayed earnestly for Peter. You remember in that upper room that Jesus prayed for all who would believe in the apostles' words. Jesus prays for you, believer. Romans 8 tells us he is at the right hand making intercession to the Father on your behalf. He is our advocate. And as the one who bore our sins on the cross, he forgives, he restores, and he employs. We see in this scene Jesus' restorative love after Peter's denial, Peter's sorrow, and then Peter's expression of love. It's, I love you, Jesus. You know that I love you. I don't love you very well, but I love you. Where else would I go? And then we get to see the usefulness that follows. Peter would be a rock by God's sustaining grace, by Jesus' restorative love. Week after week, we come again to the cross. We sing about the cross. We meditate on the cross in a communion meditation. The men can come forward now, and they will distribute the cup and the bread. A little piece of bread, a little cup of juice. These are symbols and emblems of Jesus' body and blood. As they pass these down, take them. They are for believers only. If you're not a follower of Jesus Christ, this is not for you. Just let it pass by. You don't have to be a member of Grace Bible Church, but you do have to be a part of Christ. You have to have believed the gospel and surrendered your life to His Lordship. And as we take these, we will remember what He has done. Hold on to them carefully. We'll take them together this morning. I'm going to give you a few moments of meditative silence. It's an opportunity for you to think about your own little denials, your own failures of faith, your own lapses in love, and to remember that you have a Savior who prays for you, who loves you, who restores you unto usefulness. Take a few moments now, confess your sins, enjoy the forgiveness that Jesus purchased. If you're not a believer, you can take this opportunity to think about what it would mean to surrender your life to Christ, to have new life and forgiveness of sin. Take a few moments now, and then I'll lead us in taking the elements.